London's, there's a river, Big Ben is somewhere in the middle, and after that, I genuinely could not tell you a thing.
That is further than most people get, and exactly one of those is wrong.
The river.
The river's fine. Big Ben isn't in the middle. Ask a Londoner where the centre is and watch them stall, because there are two about 2 miles apart and they never merged.
Two centres.
One money, one government. The money one is the City of London, capital C, which people call the square mile. St. Paul's, the glass towers. The government one is Westminster, upstream, where you were standing.
So the bit with the big clock is the government one.
That's Parliament, yes. And here is the thing that unlocks the map. Those two have been separate for 1,000 years and still are. The city has its own police force and its own mayor, who is not the mayor of London.
That seems like a lot.
It is a lot, but it means that when somebody says the city, they don't mean the city. They mean a square mile of banks, and the West End is whatever grew in the gap between the two.
In the gap, so the West End is newer.
Newest of the three by a distance. And everything else falls out of one question, which is why anybody put a settlement here at all.
I assume the river, rivers are good, water, fish, boats.
Half right, a river is a wall as much as a road. What you want is one spot where you can do both at once. Cross it and dock a seagoing ship at it.
And those two fight each other?
Constantly. Downstream it is wide and deep, which is wonderful for ships and hopeless to bridge. Upstream it is narrow and easy to bridge, and too shallow for anything with a keel. The Romans found where both just about work and put a bridge on it.
Just about.
Two low gravel hills on the north bank, dry ground above the flood, right where the river is still deep enough for a ship and narrow enough to span. The south bank was marsh. So, north bank on the hills at the bridge.
And that is the city.
That is the city. Roman, walled, and that wall is roughly the shape it still has. So why is the centre there? It is the one place a bridge and a port could be the same place.
What happens at the other end of the bridge?
Southwark, which spends its whole history as the far end of the bridge, so it is where you put what the city will not have. Theatres, bear pits, brothels, prisons. Shakespeare's playhouse is over there, and the reason is licensing.
Shakespeare got zoned out of town.
Shakespeare got zoned out of town.
Fine, so the river hands you the bridge. What else is it doing to the place?
Three things, and you can hold all three. First, it runs west to east, out to the North Sea. So upstream is west, downstream is east. Every time you hear east or west in London, hear downstream or upstream instead.
That feels like it is about to matter enormously.
It is about to matter enormously. Second, it is tidal, a long way past the city. The sea comes up it twice a day. That is how a ship gets 40 miles inland without trying. Ride the flood in, ride the ebb out.
So it isn't really a river port.
It is the sea arriving inland. Third, until the 1700s there was one bridge in the spot the Romans picked. One.
For how long?
Effectively the whole time. Which is why the South Bank is a slightly different country to this day. It filled in late and the underground map still shows it. North of the river a plate of spaghetti. South of it, almost nothing.
I have actually noticed that and assumed it was something about the ground.
The ground doesn't help. But mostly the surface railways got there first, and there was not much left worth tunnelling for.
Should I stop saying north and south then?
You should stop trusting them. The river bends like a dropped hosepipe. There are loops where the north bank is south of the south bank. Don't use it as a compass, use it as a spine.
Right spine, so how do we end up with a second centre?
A king wanted out. Well before the Normans, he built himself a palace and an abbey on a marshy island upstream at Westminster. Out of the merchant city, on his own ground.
So he commutes?
By boat, mostly. And the road along the bank between them is called the Strand, which just means shore. That is the first thread stitching the pair together.
And the gap in between becomes the West End.
The gap is fields. Then, from about the 1600s, the gap is the best property opportunity in Europe. A handful of aristocratic families owned those fields and laid out squares and terraces on them.
Is that why it all looks matching?
Exactly why. One Londoner, one plan, one go, and you can still find them on the deeds. The Groveners, the Portmans, the Howard de Waldens hold an enormous amount of that freehold today.
Okay, hang some names on this for me.
Mayfair First, it is the cleanest. West of Regent Street, running up to Hyde Park. Named after an actual Mayfair that got shut down for being disreputable, then built by the Groveners as the smartest address going. Still is. Hear Mayfair, hear money that doesn't want a trading floor. Funds, art dealers, embassies.
Marylebone.
Just north of Mayfair, above Oxford Street. The name is St. Mary by the Bourne, a Bourne being a stream, and that stream is still down there under the pavement in a pipe. Same story, different family, quieter result. People mention it for private doctors, and for a nice high street.
And Soho, everybody says Soho and nobody ever says where it is.
East of Mayfair, between all that and the city. It is the one that went wrong in the best possible way. Built for the same posh market, out of fashion almost immediately, and filled up instead with everybody arriving with nothing. French Protestants, Italians, Greeks, and eventually a Chinatown that moved in from the east of town.
And that is why it is the fun one.
Cheap, central, nobody respectable watching. You get the food, the clubs, the music business, the film industry. If somebody says a meeting in Soho, they mean advertising or film. If they say a night in Soho, they mean the other thing.
So the posh went west, why west and not east? Is that a coin flip?
No, and this is my favourite fact in the whole city. The wind.
The wind.
Britain's prevailing wind comes from the southwest. So for 400 years of coal smoke, tanneries, breweries, gasworks, everything that stank blew east. If you had money, you moved upwind, and upwind is west. That is it.
That is far too neat, I don't believe it.
You are right not to take it on its own, and it isn't on its own. The docks were going east regardless because the sea is east and ships come from the sea. And the bridge blocked masts, so anything with a mast stopped below it. The port sat downstream of the city by force.
So the port is east because it has no choice.
No choice at all. And as ships got bigger, the docks marched further east, dug out one after another down the river. The industry that processes what a ship brings, sugar and timber and hides and chemicals, sits next to the docks. The people working it live next to that.
So the east is not poor because of the wind, it is poor because that is where the work was.
It is both, and they point the same direction, which is why it came out so stark. Upwind, upstream, planned, leasehold, aristocratic, that is the west. Downwind, downstream, unplanned, industrial, casual labor, that is the east. Same river, opposite ends.
I want to push on that though, because I don't think it is true now.
It isn't a...
Every glamorous photograph of London is towers, and the towers are east.
You have got it, and that is the last piece. The thing that made the east died, and it died suddenly, inside about 15 years.
Died how?
The shipping container. Once cargo moves in steel boxes, you need cranes and space and deep water, and none of that fits in a dock basin ringed by a city. The trade went downstream to bigger ports. And every dock in London shut between the late 60s and the early 80s.
All of them?
All of them, which leaves you holding miles of derelict waterfront, a couple of miles from the middle of one of the most expensive cities on Earth.
And somebody noticed.
Somebody noticed. And now your three confusing names line up, because they are the same story three times, and they are three stops on one tube line in order.
Go on then.
Canada Water. South Bank on the docks that handled timber, a great deal of it Canadian, which is the name. One of the basins is still there as a lake. Today it is an interchange and a very large building site.
Canary Wharf.
North Bank, inside a loop of the river so tight the land in the middle is called the Isle of Dogs. Built on the dock that took fruit from the Canary Islands. That is the name. One Key. Now the second financial district, for banks wanting big open floors the old city couldn't give them.
And it worked.
Eventually, it got built before there was a decent way of getting to it, and the first developer went bankrupt. Then the tube arrived and it filled up.
Canning Town.
Further east again, North Bank by the mouth of a tributary, beside the last and biggest docks. Ironworks, shipbuilding and the housing that served them. If you follow football, the club that came out of that shipyard is West Ham.
So why do I keep hearing those three in the same breath?
Because they are three stops on one line through a dead port. That is honestly all it is. Two of the three you are hearing because that is where people change trains.
Though two of my six names are just stations.
Mostly, yes, sorry.
No, that is the single most useful thing anyone has told me about this city.
One caveat and you have the frame. All of this is central London. Most of the place by area is outer suburb, built along railway lines in the 20s and 30s, and none of this explains it. That is houses following track.
But for the middle, one bridge, two centers, upstream is west and got planned and got rich, downstream is east and got worked, and now the east is being rebuilt on its own dead docks.
Hold that, and every new name you hear has somewhere to land.